Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Didn't read a lot yesterday on Saturday because my brother and his family came up and we went to like a brunch and had breakfast slash lunch at one of the cafes we like, Rock City Cafe. We like it a lot. And we had a good lunch, and then they came here and they got to hang out with Gigi for a while and got to play with her. Kind of wore her out, all the running around and stuff and excitement, which was good. And had a good day yesterday, and then came home, finished watching Hell Over High Water. I think that's what it was, another Taylor Sheridan movie that I was in, because I had finished Landman and moved on to that, and just watched Sicario for the first time, which is another Taylor Sheridan written show. And I think I'm like all caught up on Taylor Sheridan except for Sicario 2 and Mayor of Kingstown, and then I've watched everything with the exception of Marshalls, which just started. But I love Taylor Sheridan's stuff, man. It has such an energy and soap operishness to it that it just keeps me glued, you know. It's so good. So yeah, and watched a little bit of Beavis and Butthead yesterday. I really want to complete that series, that one and Ren and Stimpy. For some reason, I ignored. I have number ones of both, but I still need to start filling in some of the other holes. They were magical in terms of animation for me. Like, except Beavis and Butthead was just recent. I watched Ren and Stimpy when it came out, but Beavis and Butthead is just like a recent thing, and I think it's hilarious. I really do. And then I pulled out an old Wizard magazine. This one features Cartman on the cover of South Park, Cheesy Poofs, and has an exclusive Jim Lee one-half comic offer inside. It's from April of 1998. At that time, where was I? I was here. So I had already started my job and had been working for many years. And I probably was getting Wizard, but I threw out a lot of Wizards. And what was happening in Wizard at that time is Rob Liefeld had broken off his company from Max, I think it came after Maximum. And we were now in Awesome. And I can't remember if Arcade was before Awesome or after. I think it was after Awesome. But they had ads for Kaboom, which I believe I completed. And Supreme, I think I have one or two issues to complete. Not this particular run, but I still have a couple. The Kaboom was by Jeff Loeb and Jeff Masuda. And Supreme was written by Alan Moore and Chris Sprouse. And then we also had Youngblood by Alan Moore and Steve Scaroci. That, you know, Awesome didn't last long. Fighting American by Jim Starlin and Stephen Platt. I don't think that ever happened. Matter of fact, did this Youngblood? I think that Youngblood did happen. But I will look up in my wonderful database for you. Let's see, Young Blood. Let's see, it's Volume 1 is still Image. Volume 2 was still Image. Volume 3 was Awesome. And it did happen, and it had two issues. So I have both of them. I have cover 1C, which is Doc Rocket on the cover. And I have Issue 2, just flat out the Issue 2 cover by Steve Scroshi. At some point, I would like to get all the covers, but that's just if I find them. But I am a fan of this stuff. Fighting American, I think I have all of them, but I don't remember Platt ever. He was supposed to start on it, but never did. Yeah, because this one from Awesome is Jeff Loeb, Rob Liefeld, with Rob Liefeld. Oh, it did have Steven Platt art. So yeah, it did happen. It had two, three issues, except I don't think number three ever came out. At least if it did, please find me a copy, 'cause I never got a copy of issue three, and nor can I find it. There is an ash can that I do not have as well. Which oh I have this Agent America. I guess I just didn't take credit for it, or I recorded it as Agent. Let's see. Yeah, I recorded it as Agent America. Interesting. So I knew I had it because I was like, when I found out this promo existed, I bought it immediately. I wish there was a back button on this database, but yeah. So we had some ads from Rob Liefeld, who hates Wizard Magazine, and The Coven, which I think I have every episode, every issue of, by Ian Churchill and Jeff Loeb. That even went over to Avatar for a while. Most of the Bad Girl stuff went over to Avatar for a short while, but Menace had one issue. I have issue one. I have all three covers, but I don't have issue zero, which is a Comic-Con exclusive that had a flip book of the Mark. That the Mark was the one that he was gonna make a movie with, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Why can't I think of his name? That's crazy. I can't think of his name. He's made it to Jada Pinkett, who was on the cover of Menace too. God, Will Smith. There you go. It's crazy when you get old. Another title that we had is Regen X. I believe I have this. Regen X. Regen. I don't know if this one ever came out or if it's called something else. Rejects? Oh, it's Rejects, not Gen X. Yes, there's two issues of that. There's an ash can, which I have. I have issue zero, just flat out the first cover, and I have issue one, but not 1A. I have 1A. The way my database used to do it, it's different now that we have so many variances. The regular edition was one, and then any alternate edition was 1A, 1B, 1C. But yeah, I have a Rob Liefeld cover. He did number one and 1B. I can't tell who did. Ian Churchill did that. God, I would like to have these. And Liefeld did the C, but it looks nothing like Liefeld. It is a very unusual cover. Yeah, some of these would be nice to have on the variant side. Patrick Lee did a 0B. I remember him in Transformers or doing stuff for a company that had Transformers. DD, was it DDP? I can't remember what company that was. They weren't paying their creators, whatever they are. And there's a comic called Blast, but that I'm pretty sure I don't have, but let's check. Blast. No, that's not Awesome. That's a Josh Brown comic from 1991. Let's see if there's another one. This one I'm not sure ever came out. Blast. Yeah, I can't find it in my database. If there is a Blast that came out, please let me know. That's Jeff Loeb and Joe Manderera. Such cool shit, man. It is so cool. At this time, X-Men 75 was coming out. At this time, I'm not sure I was getting a lot of Marvel books. Letters, pages, I do like to look at, but I didn't get a chance to preview them before the show. So I think I'll leave off with that and come back to that. I will say before the show, I was reading, there was a one-shot Cyber Force that came out probably 2025 or 2023. I had it in a box here. It was from one of those talent pools, although I don't know what the competition was, because it was like a pilot season without having a pilot season. And it was really good. It had to do with Aphrodite 4 and I want to say Psyblade. It was another character from Cyber Force, but she had to destroy Aphrodite 4 because she escaped. And yeah, it was pretty damn good. I really enjoyed it. And then I went upstairs because it was bedtime, and I read myself to sleep with Grim Fairy Tales of Terror, which I had in print, but it was also appearing on Comixology, which is still part of Amazon. You probably don't hear much about it. But they had a 99-cent sale, and I got that and read those, and now I'm in the issues that I couldn't find. It was the time when Diamond went bankrupt and nobody picked up Zenoscope. So there's like three issues of Tales for Terror I have yet to get. Let me just say, Tales of Terror is probably my favorite Zenoscope book. It is consistently a great and horror anthology. It just has one story per issue. You could pick up any issue and just read it, and you get one story. And they're just so good. I enjoy them all. The art is good. I'd highly recommend it if you like horror to check out Grim Tales of Terror. They're starting to make a comeback. You can st still find some Zenoscope books offered. There are a few, like 1 to 2 issues a month on mycomicshop.com. I have to poke them every now and then. Said, why aren't the Zenoscope books listed? And then somehow magically they get listed. This time I actually was poking Zenoscope. Like, how come my comic shop, well, this time I used Lone Star Comics, did not get your solicits? Because I really want to order your books and I don't want to go through Kickstarter. So, yeah, and they have a website which I may be able to get some of the issues, but I do not know where to find these small print runs of the books that happened sort of between Diamond losing it and Zenoscope not publishing to anybody. So Zenoscope's going direct to Lone Star Comics now. They had 1 or 2 months that were going through, God, I can't think of that company now. It's not Massive, it's the other one. Which AC Comics went to with Femforce. But they have a catalog and they go through my comic shop. So, and I was just like, okay, now they're not there. Now they're there. And It's like one of those frustrating, like I think Xenoscope fans are gonna find those issues are hard to get, those issues that I'm mentioning, like a 3 month span of Xenoscope issues are just hard to find. But I think now they're going through a company called Universal. Universal bought the Diamond arm called Alliance, which is the gaming side, and then Zenoscope is one of the comic providers that they're providing. They also provide DC Comics to compete with Lunar, and I can't remember what else they might have Image as well, but yeah, we'll see where that goes. But interesting times in comic, trying to get comics for sure. So let's jump into the. Oh, I also wanted to talk about this anomaly of Image. Like, okay, I don't know if I told everybody here, but I get my comics through three sources, okay? Source one, which is the bulk of my comic books, come from DCBS. Source two is my comic shop, which I get stuff from that one catalog that I cannot remember the name from. They like pulled a bunch of indie sources and they put together this catalog, which has publishers like AC, Dren, Grok, a couple others. They have Warrant, which is important to get your magazines from, like Vampress Camellia and Shudder. So they have some stuff, and I wish they had PS art books still. I would have loved that. But and then the third source is my LCS. My LCS, I get all my Spawn books, all my Savage Dragon books, Amazing Spider-Man, Black Cat, a few others. Batman, Detective, Wonder Woman, but not a lot. I also get Ice Cream Man there. There's a handful of comics I still get at the LCS. I forgot to mention my comic shop because I'm a subscriber now. I can do the piggyback feature, which I do enjoy, and I take advantage of. And I'm using it to complete a lot of series that I want to complete. Sorry. But I'm going to get into the weekly reads for August 25th through August 31st. The things I watched were Toxic Avenger Uncut. I think this was the new movie at the theater. I actually paid to go see this. I think it was only out 1 week. And I went by myself, because my wife has been going to Albuquerque a lot to take care of things with her mom. And sometimes she'll say, "Well, let me just buy you a ticket so we could use our Cinemark points." And I went to go see this. I watched some Chip season 4. I'm almost done with season 4. I got to get back on it to complete it. John is still on the show. We haven't switched to the other blonde guy yet. Black Bag. I don't remember where I saw this, but it was like a CIA type movie without the action. It was very much more like a thriller without a lot of action, like intrigue and suspense about what's going on, about a married couple. It was pretty cool. That was a 4 out of 5. So all of these were 4 out of 5s, and then Caught Stealing, which has Austin Butler. I'm a big fan of Austin Butler. My wife says I have a man crush on him. I think he's a really good actor. And then the 5 out of 5 was Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. Watching it the second time with Namor. I think that one in Ironheart. I really like that movie. It gets a lot of shit for whatever reason, like compared to the original Black Panther, but I find it really is as enjoyable as the first one, even though Chadwick Boseman is not in it, unfortunately. He's in at the beginning, but he kind of like just dies because he died in real life. We had a total of 29 comics, one Kickstarter, 11 Image, 14 IDW, one Frank Miller Presents, one at Arctic, and one Addiction. So why is this such a strange week? This is when I stopped pulling books that I was keeping caught up with and said, I have these 9 boxes of comics in my living room, which I need to get out of my living room. So I better read them. And unfortunately, I've only read about one short box. So I'm down to 8 short boxes of comics that I need to read in the living room. I have made some progress over the last week, but I lose my way because I'm a mood reader. But the 3 out of 5 was A Town Called Terror, number 3. The one son hates his father but meets up with his twin siblings. He decides to go into town and work with his father. That's from Image Comics. Addiction Premiere, number 2. That's from Addiction Comics. I believe it was called Z something, like somebody's last name, Zerillo or. Number 1 was like almost a 5 out of 5, you know, and number 2, as the series went on, I didn't like it as much. But it was a very strange issue. This is the one about the government agent that uses her powers of touching and being able to give you the effects of any drug that she think, you know, can think of. And uses any formula that she come up with in her mind, kind of like the way Firestorm, Professor Stein could come up with something, and they can use that formula. Second issue, she is only thinking about her husband when she is on a mission, and she runs into 2 characters with their own abilities. We have Immortal Legend Batman. This is a fake Bruce that is killing people, and the Immortal Batman. Harvey and one new female stop him. The mantle of the bat was supposed to go to Thomas Elliot, not Bruce. This is one that I liked the first issue, but as the series goes on, I like it less and less. I was debating not doing it, but I'm still kind of getting almost every DC title. But this is, I gotta start thinking about retirement and how the heck I could offload some of these titles. And I think this could be one I could just read digitally because I have the digital app. Because it's something I want to read and I'm curious about, but I don't care about it. Like, I don't have, like, oh, I need that issue. Like, today I went to the storage unit and I knew I had finished Private Dance, which is a Kickstarter number 3 and 4, and it kind of wraps up the first arc. And then I knew I had 5, 6, and 7, which is this is about a strip club and it's a Kickstarter. And Kickstarters, I can't look up by date because I never know when they're coming in. I mean, I could if I recorded it right in my database, and I might use one of the optional fields to do that in the future. Like, when did I get it? That way I can look at it, and then I kind of know what boxes, because if you haven't heard, I record comics by date. But I found out, like, it wasn't in the storage unit at all. Like, I found 6 and 7, but not 5. And, I came back home and I said, I wonder if it's here. And there was like a small pile on top of those 8 long boxes or short boxes that I was talking about in the living room. And there was a stack of like a couple Mad Cave and the Rexford Kickstarters that were to read, but they never made it into the box. And there was Private Dance number 5, and I'm like, yes. And I went back to the storage unit and also found Mark Spear's Monsters. I read issue one. I was blown away. Like, I was like, this is kick ass. But anyway, back to our regularly scheduled list. We got Pop Up 2 through 4, which I didn't take credit for. That's Blood Moon. Which I can add two more comics to the list because I didn't take credit for them. With the total of 29 goes to 31. That's a better show, that's for sure. We'll update that live. And Pop Up, this was a good one. This is probably one of the better Blood Moon comics. I mean, there's some really unique ones. Blood Tree, I think, is one I really liked. A matter of fact, I became obsessed with it because it was based on like a true story, like at least a true tale. Like, I don't know how to tell it, but like a true myth. And it was fascinating to me. But Pop Up was basically a museum of mass murders that pops up. They call it a pop-up because it would go from town to town. And this woman put it together. She amassed several real murder artifacts and haunted items to make a pop-up museum, like the knives that killed people and all this crazy shit. And her daughter and boyfriend are helping, but when they announce they're leaving, like leaving town and gonna leave her mom behind with this pop-up museum, the ghosts of the museum come alive and murder them. They also murder the patrons. So then we got Rocketeer in the Den of Thieves 2 through 4. Peavy is taken, but the not by the Nazis, and it's up to Betty and Cliff to go get him in Germany. They make the save, but was it really a trap? So then we got one that I haven't read in a while, but I was enjoying. This is a company that was launched in the diamond era and didn't last through the diamond era. It ended early. It was formed by Dan DiDio and Frank Miller. And I thought the offerings were strong. And yes, I haven't been caught up, but everything I've read, like the number ones and stuff, I thought they were really good. It didn't catch. A lot of the current Frank Miller art doesn't catch. I think Dan DiDio is not a driving force. Like, as popular as he was as a DC, VP or whatever you want to call him, president, a lot of people don't like him or navigate towards his writing. I was really happy with his Ohm Activate or Omac series and what he did with some of the side series that he touched. I thought they were really good. I'm following his Defenders of the Earth at Mad Cave, and I like this Ancient Enemies. The greater good try to come to rescue the rescue of a collapse of the bridge and are only partially successful. Wrath gets saved by the geek, and there is a little bit of about Dejeni. World building and character profiles in the back, effective because there is a large cast we are dealing with, and you can still follow the greater story. And not a lot of people are good with team books. They just don't know how to balance this stuff. Mark Waid does it really well at Justice League. JSA is doing really good. Jeff Lemire. Some people just fail. Got Bloodstained Teeth. This is an image book. Even though I read issues 1 and 2 a long time ago, this was number 3. I was able to jump right back in. This is about a vampire that would turn people into vampires for money. He eventually has to kill all those he created. This one focused on the vampire who would crash into people and draw them into his car to help. We got Bear Pirate Viking Queen number 1. This was pretty good. This image about a man that is running gold for a queen and gets attacked by pirates and is sent to his death, but a version of a bear, but has a vision of a bear and becomes a pirate. Later, he's attacked by a Viking ship. We got Juice Man number 9. This is the book for Savage Dragon fans. He's done work in Savage Dragon. There is also a mention of Captain Tootsie, which appears in Savage Dragon. He takes on the Mind Freak, and then guess who's going to start appearing? Popeye. And Popeye is also appearing in the current episodes or issues of Savage Dragon. Matter of fact, the latest issue features Popeye. We have Dungeons and Dragons Mindbender 2 and 3. This is from IDW. I think they're at Dark Horse now. The team breaks up, and two go warn the leadership that someone is mind controlling people. They get overtaken, and we think they're under mind control. The three defeat the creature and are off to save their friend. One of them had to kill their mentor because he was overtaken by a parasite. It's weird because I never had any desire to play Dungeons and Dragons. I didn't watch the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. I've only seen the movie, which I enjoyed. But every time and then I dip my toe into a Dungeons and Dragons comic and I enjoy it for the most part. I'm able to follow the story even though I don't know the characters, but it's pretty good. Spawn Fan Edition 1 through 3. These are pretty cool. They were done by Bo Smith. They came with Overstreet Fan Magazine. Overstreet Fan Magazine was a magazine that was dealt to compete with Wizard and Hero Magazine, featuring the first appearance of Nordic Viking Hellspawn in issue 1 and Mercy Angel in issue 3. So, if you're a Spawn completist, you really need to seek out the Spawn Fan Edition comics that came with this Overstreet. We got Spawn, The Dark Ages, 19 through 22. Covenant is depowered and decides to help an abused and beaten farmer get his wife back from the Vikings. In the process, he is captured but eventually gets powered up as a Hellspawn and makes them eat one another because that is what they are doing to the prisoners. He does free his wife and he is reunited with. Also, Spawn of the Dark Ages does free the wife and she is reunited with the husband that he's helping. Tells the origin of Covenant and how he became Hellspawn. Also finds another Hellspawn growing from a mass murderer and destroys him before he can become a Hellspawn. I really need to finish the series because I'm close. True Cult from IDW. The fast food manager and the girl he is hiring get recruited by a satanic cult to kill someone from an organization. The food manager had broken into a strip mall in issue number one. That was a good series. A 4 out of 5, 8 billion genies. Chaos is erupting outside the bar. One Patreon wishes for the tools to survive in a new world and leaves his wife in the bar. The drunk father wishes for his son to have his mother back. The 5 out of 5s, we got Crawling Sky. This is a Western from Antarctic Press. A man and his wife are attacked by a monster. When the sheriff hears this, he puts him in a pillory and kids in the town throw rocks at him. A priest comes into the town and chases off the kids, but that are hitting him with rocks and takes the young man under his wing to investigate this monster. Really good horror western. I liked it a lot. That's why I gave it a 5 out of 5. Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons, 1 through 3. This was from IDW. It was a you mixed Godzilla with pirates, and I love pirate books. A pirate is going to be hanging by the British, but convinces them to hear a tale about treasure and dragons when he rode from with Drake. That's that a buccaneer, Drake. The pirate avoids the gallows as I think is Arnold Drake. As he now has the attention of the Queen's consultant, the pirate suggests there may be a Mason group that has worshipped Kaiju. The pirate continues his tale and suggests the treasure be in a cave where Godzilla lives. This is the best Godzilla I have ever read, outside of the Marvel one. We have Dark Spaces, Wildfire 2 through 5. This is an IDW Scott Snyder book. The convict female forest A fighting team plan a heist of a rich man's house during a fire. They break in, start getting information off the computer they need, and then they find a dead body. Then a fire breaks out in the house, but this was man-made and done by a bunch of mercenaries. The mercenaries shoot mom and are going to kill them. They take the blonde one, but she is with the mercenaries. But the four females get loose. One mercenary and find. Man, I wrote one long run-on sentence and it's hard to read it. The four families get loose, kill one mercenary, and find out their trusted friend is in on it. That's that blonde girl. She's hired the mercenaries to kill all these firefighters in this home. Satisfying ending to Dark Space Wildfire. Sometimes it is not just about money. Sometimes it is about doing what's right, and that is satisfying enough. And that's kind of how the series ends. So that was that week. We then get into week September 1st through September 7th. We had a total of 24 comics. One Valiant, four Massive, nine Marvel, one Mad Cave, two Kickstarter, two Image, two Dynamite, one DC, two Antarctic. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Giant Size X-Men number one. Kamala, this is the second volume, Giant Size X-Men number one. Kamala, Miss Marvel, is traveling through time and meets up with the original Uncanny X-Men. The second story is about a female mutant, Justina Longordina, who seems to be more powerful than Xavier. That was actually more interesting to me than the first part of the story. We have Gun Goth. This really well drawn. The story was okay. This was a Kickstarter. A portal was open, and a band of werewolves are unearthed, killing people. And a rebel werewolf and Gun Goth and friends are trying to stop them. We have X-Force 300, a decent finale to the story. We find out who the big bad is. We find out the identity of Tank, and the story wraps up. What I really enjoyed was the Cable backup, and damn, that artwork was fantastic. I used the word damn, so I thought it was great. Superior, that was a 4 out of 5. Another 4 out of 5, Superior Avengers number 2. Superior Avengers tussle with a Diablo and deal with a prison in the negative zone. Dust to Dust number 4 has dealt with the aftermath of the big dust storm. This series has been amazing, but this issue jumped around a little too much. I also did not get the Jackrabbit thing, so if anybody wants to explain it to me, I would be grateful. Weapon X-Men number 4. This was pretty fun, as it was the team taking on Red Ronin in a one-shot adventure. Wolverine slashing inside Red Ronin was pretty cool. We will see how this series wraps up the next issue. We got Murder Nun. That was a Kickstarter. She goes into a bar seeking revenge and finds out who she is seeking revenge on are demons who are posing as priests. We have Gehenna, Naked Aggression number 3. It is refreshing having a comic that is pure adrenaline from beginning to end with beautiful art. Not everything has to make you think. A superhero tries to stop Gehenna in this issue. We got Vanya number 8. Dinosaurs versus tanks in this issue. We got Iron Fist, the Living Weapon number 8. This was me going through a box down in the basement that I had an inventoried, and I pulled this issue out. Danny is trying to heal and has a spiritual dream trying to rescue his mom. It correlates his life to the trials that Buddha went through. It's a really good issue. Another one I got from that same box was Infinity Gauntlet Volume 2 Number 1. The Infinity Gauntlet Volume 2 Number 1. It's a battle world, and on this world, a family without a mom tries to live in a post-apocalyptic world infested by giant insects and spiders. The mother is believed dead. One of the daughters finds an infinity gem. We have Speed Racer number two. Speed Racer must find a sponsor to win a race in order to save his father. We've got Disney villain Scar number three and four. Zero experience with the Lion King, but this Scar book is really good as he forms an alliance with the hyenas and they overcome their queen. Scar ends up feeding on the hyenas in exchange for loyalty against Mustafa. New Champions number two, reading this digitally and wished I would have picked it up in print. I am also enjoying it more than I thought I would. I will continue reading it digitally. I did go back and buy all of the new champions. I thought I was top notch. I'm still missing one issue. That issue should be coming to me in one of those piggybacks from my comic shop. I'm still looking for Doctor Strange of Asgard number five, though. We got Indestructible Hulk number nine. This was also in that back issue bundle. Indestructible Hulk number nine by Wade and Scalera. Bruce agrees for Hulk to be a weapon of mass destruction for a shield if he gets to use their technology and labs. A terrorist group is bringing weapons into New York. I wonder why I didn't hit return on there. And Maria Hill sends Hulk to smash. One weapon escapes but makes its way to Zemo, Baron Zemo. That was a really good issue, and it makes me want to really go down to the basement and finish the series. We got Valiant Beyond. Tales for the Shadow Man was really good. Tales of the Shadow Man reimagining the character from Basu Koblaman as the new Shadow Man. He can open up a portal to our world from the dead side, and in this one, he goes after a serial killer called Mr. Twist. He teams up with a detective to track down Jack Boniface. It was off to a good start. We have Justice League number 10. This is wrapping up, I think, after the Airwave saga and the Gorilla Grodd. I didn't take any notes on it, but I liked it because it's up here at the high. Planet Comics number 29 through 30. Valkyra is one of my favorites. Zan has to be consistently wonderful, and I'm glad there are European jungle comics that Antarctic was able to translate for us to enjoy. Zan leaves us in an unfinished arc, and Valkyra had a clean break with more to come in the future. This was my favorite Antarctic publication in terms of the anthologies. I wonder why. That's not Planet Comics. That's a Jungle Comics. What the fuck am I talking about? This was the finale to Jungle Comics. That was my favorite. The Planet Comics was not. Matter of fact, it was my least favorite. I would say it was Jungle Comics, Horror Comics, Exciting Comics, and then Planet Comics. I Lie Popeye 1 through 4. I Lie Popeye is a very fun series. Starts off as a mystery of how Popeye lost his eye and turns into someone attacking the family for the power of Popeye. Eventually leads into the kidnapping of Sweet Pea. We then go into the week of September 8th through September 14th. The movies watched were Revival Conclusion, that is the TV show, 4 out of 5. Red Sonja the movie, 4 out of 5. It was really good. I bought it with a gift card, and I thought it was well worth the money I spent buying that movie, and I will rewatch that movie. Long Walk was one of my movies of the year. I thought it was phenomenal. It was emotional. It was so well done. And it could be my favorite movie of 2025 for sure. It's definitely in my top five. The comics read 14 only. 7 Marvel, 1 Mad Cave, 1 Image, 1 Dynamite, 1 DC, 3 Bad Idea. 3 out of 5 was Miss Fury Joy Division. It's about 3 or 4 issues in this graphic novel form where Miss Fury is brought in by the US government to infiltrate a Nazi party and take down a womanizing Nazi that abuses women. She forms an alliance with the German and Jewish women to form a cat alliance against the Nazis. This was a Billy Tucci written story from Dynamite. And like I said, I don't think it came out in single issues. I think it went directly to a trade or hardcover. I have the trade. We then have Red Hood number one. This is the Red Hood that got stopped from publication. The broker comes back. Why do I have notes like that? Okay, those notes should be at the top. And I need to delete that. And this is a story of the first Black Label ongoing. Did not really establish it much other than a new number one setting things up. I spent an insane amount of time reading up on both sides of why of this story and why this author was canceled. Personally, I don't blame this trans woman for saying the things she shouldn't have said, but she has been treated like crap, and because she said the things she said, she was fired from DC. And when I went back, I went back and reread this tale, and it was pretty damn good. I enjoyed it. So I enjoyed it more than the second time. I think the first time I was just like trying to figure out why this issue was so controversial and not really concentrating on the content of the story. We got Lost Fantasy number one from Image. A fantasy wielder goes to help a young girl that was being hunted but gets shot. Backup sequel to the Indigo Children. I don't know if shot is the right word because I put shop. That doesn't sound right. That's one thing when you record so far away from you reading the material. Forceworks number 15. The broker comes back to Forcework headquarters to take back Sentry. Luckily, Sentry and the US agent are there to thwart his plans and free the other slaves by destroying the gauntlet that was controlling them. Looks like Sentry is leaving the team. Guardians of the Galaxy number 7. The Guardians run into a ship with their energy vampire. Links to Starhawk and his sister Alita. Martin X is fully restored from his injuries. This is the Valentino Guardians of the Galaxy. New Warriors number 8, roughly around the same time that Guardians of the Galaxy came out. The Punisher is going after Silhouette and has a run-in with Night Thrasher. The rest of the team has run-in with Forces of Nature, looking for Speedball's mom. Doctor Strange of Asgard number 4, seeking the magic component to help Loki from the murder charge while Sif and Thor are on to him. New Champions 3 through 5. It is the New Champions versus the Old Champions. The Origin of the Golden Tiger. If I remember correctly, that's the one with the Vibranium Gold Claw. The Magneto Kid and the Magic Kid attack our team as of friends. We got Vanishing Point number 4 is a 5 out of 5 now. We're switching from 4 out of 5s to 5 out of 5s. A robot is being tested by another robot to see if it's becoming alive. Planet Death number 1, a cyborg army reaches an alien planet they are going to do war with. A lot of them die on the way down. Hero Trade, Project Chimera. Two scientists are having an affair not approved by the corporation, and they're raising the Wonder Twins. At the end, they report each other as being a mole. We got Cul-de-sac number one, a vampire coven that can have kids live in a cul-de-sac. The mo mother takes the kids on a camping trip to reveal to them that they are vampires. When the kids come back, they find their families killed by mercenary vampire killers. All 5 out of 5s, all bad idea. It was a bad idea week. And it was a good idea to publish these books. A lot of fun stuff there. I want to personally thank all of you for listening and supporting the show. If you're out there, let me know that you listen to the show, you like it, what you'd like to see going forward. Questions and comments can be sent to me at Mike Myers Brunch on X or on Blue Sky. I seem to be getting more reactions from Blue Sky people than X these days. X, I think I've been algorithmed out. Don't have anybody reading my tweets anymore, I don't think. But I still post there, and you can still get a hold of me there. I'll see your at mentions. And also on Facebook, I'm still on Geek Brunch Podcast and DC Noise Podcast. On DCNoisePodcast.com, which now features Geek Brunch, Mike M's Weekly Reads, and any other podcasts I do. The only two that are currently active are Mike M's Weekly Reads and Geek Brunch. I hope to get back to more as I assume less and less time at work. It seems like I'm ramping upward in a trend I don't like. I'm supposed to be working 32-hour weeks, and I'm more moving towards 37. So I'm moving back to a full-time job, and I don't want that to happen. So if I can somehow step back a little bit, you will see more content. A lot to talk about, for sure. And you can send me email at mikemyersbrunch@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening and supporting my shows and just taking the time to listen. And enjoy your comics, please, because there's so many good ones out there right now.